Tá tú a géisteacht le Evolving Harps, podcraoladh ó Crit Éireann, Harp Ireland. This is your host, Niamh O'Brien. In this series, we've been chatting to some of Ireland's most exciting harp players and delving into all the different ways they have been experimenting with this instrument and expanding the musical world of our national emblem. So na grán seo, tá mé caint le Siobhán Brady. Siobhán's harp playing has taken her all over the world and even to some of its highest peaks, often in the name of raising money for Cystic Fibrosis Ireland. I met Siobhán at the Irish Chamber Orchestra building at the University of Limerick, where she now works as a marketing manager. We started our conversation at the beginning, Siobhán's first steps into the harping world.
So I started the piano at the age of 5 in the Limerick School of Music, and as I was playing, my piano teacher said that I needed to look at playing a second instrument because the piano is really insular and you don't really play with anyone, and suddenly you're playing piano concertos with orchestras and it can be a bit jarring. So he was like, play an instrument that you can play with other people and you can have fun with, thinking it'd be like a little side project that maybe I do for a few years. So I looked around and the Irish Harp Centre was only like 15 minutes away from my house. So I signed up at the age of 11 and I instantly fell in love, and I took lessons with Janet Harbison. Then I went to college in Cork School of Music for the harp, and I took the concert harp as well, and I didn't continue lessons with the piano, despite the fact that it was my poor piano teacher who inspired me in the first place. But I toured with the Irish Harp Orchestra, and I think that gave me the bug, to be honest, of playing with people and getting to explore other countries and other cultures with it. And that's where it started.
And what was it about the instrument that drew you in, or, you know, why did it take, I suppose, more of your focus than the piano in the end?
It's just so beautiful, I think. It's just so fun to play. It's so satisfying, and everything that you can play is just so beautiful. Even if you play something that was meant for piano on the harp, it just has like an extra special quality about it. And yeah, I just couldn't give it up.
And when you were in college and studying both classical and Irish harp, how did you find the two genres interacted, or is it a symbiotic relationship between playing classical harp and Irish harp?
It was like learning a slightly different language, to be honest. I started day one in my degree, and my teacher was like showing me what each lever did, what each pedal did. So I started with absolutely no knowledge on the pedal harp. So it was like a crash course. It's a very different way of learning music. When you play Irish music, it's more about like absorbing like the soul of it, basically, and then classical music is more like, this is exactly how the dynamics should be played. They're slightly different, but I had a habit of apparently playing the classical music too loosely and not following exactly what Chopin would have written.
Right now we are in the Irish Chamber Orchestra building. Tell me about your work here.
So I'm currently the marketing manager for the Irish Chamber Orchestra. I started back in January, so I'm still pretty new at it, but I'm having so much fun. They're all really lovely here. And it's like a different facet to the music industry of marketing and showcasing musicians. It's just so interesting.
Mm. Yeah, and it's something that's come up in the other conversations we've had as part of this series, that I think to be a musician now, you need a whole range of skills, and marketing and promotion being one of them. How did you get into it, or what started you on that journey?
So for the highest harp concert, I was like essentially a one-man band, and I was told that it was such a great initiative and that we needed to like get funders involved and contact people like RTE, and then they just looked at me to be like, you should do this. So I went and I took online marketing courses, and I did an event management course and a digital media marketing course, and honestly they're just so helpful. Just everything about music is promotion.
Tell me about some of the musical projects you have. Do you play with different groups or orchestras or on your own, or where do you get a chance to play nowadays?
At the moment, I'm mainly playing for myself. I haven't really done that in a while because when I was in college, it is just full-time performance. And I didn't lose the love for it, but I was just so stressed and focused on these huge exam performances. Like my final performance was like 50 minutes long. I would like no interval. It was very intense. I'm playing for myself, and I'm playing for funders. Basically, we have some contracts so that the sponsors can get a concert and like a, here's what your money did, look how great it was. So I have a few of those to do, which are just fun, to be honest.
You said that mostly when you get to play, it's to sit down to play for yourself. What's going through your mind when you take that moment to sit down and play?
Like, I used to have my music stand and then like a list of pieces I needed to like perfect, and like I needed to have this piece off book and everything. And I'm just finding the love in it again. So I'm just finding pieces that I've always wanted to play, and I'm just learning them for myself, basically. It's very healing.
Okay, so we're after taking a very short walk from the ICO, and here we are at the banks of the River Shannon. Do you often come out here on your lunch break, Siobhan?
In the sunshine. It hasn't been that sunny this year. We've had pretty bad weather.
Our plan had been to bring the harp outside and have a little tune, but unfortunately the weather conditions aren't allowing for that today. But taking the harp on long journeys in inclement weather conditions is not something that stopped you before, Siobhan.
No, now, I have never played in the rain, so I usually call it quits when it comes to water.
But where have you played the harp?
I've played beside a glacier on the highest mountain in Africa, in Kilimanjaro.
Tell us how that adventure came about.
So, many, many years ago, in 2018, I went over to London to play a harp competition, and in the audience was this man called Desmond Gentle, who ran a piano rescue shop in Camden Market. And he came up to me and he was like, I am bringing a harp up the Himalayas, do you want to come? And so this was April, and he said, I'm doing it in September. And I thought he meant 1 or 2 years from now, but he meant in 4 months' time. So we went home and we booked flights. And basically, he brought a grand piano, and the harp was going to be a backup in case anything went wrong. And many things nearly went wrong. In the airport, one of those pronged truck things that carry things, I can't remember the name of it, nearly went through the soundboard of the piano because it's so huge. Anyway, the piano got trucked up, and then in the moment we were like, the harp is so much more portable, we carried it up even further. And when I did the concert, I won the Guinness World Record for the highest harp concert in the Himalayas, and we came down and Desmond said we could do this again higher but with the harp. So in 2018 it was innate of cystic fibrosis, because Desmond had a dear friend who was a musician who had cystic fibrosis, and when you go up that high, you like struggle with your breath because of the low oxygen. So it gives you a bit of sympathy of what people with CF deal with every day. So we raised, I think it's 20,000 that time for Cystic Fibrosis UK. And we came back and we were all buzzing. We're going to do it again on Kilimanjaro. And 10 days later, Desmond died of thrombosis. So then COVID hit and we were all in a bit of shock. So we came together and I got in contact with Cystic Fibrosis Ireland. I met this woman called Caroline Heffernan, who is an absolute superwoman. She has CF and she's done 2 Ironmen. She cycles Malin to Mizenhead every year. She's absolutely inspirational. So she got on board. We ended up with a team of about 20. And last summer, we successfully brought the harp to Kilimanjaro and we've raised nearly 90,000 for CF so far. We're hoping for 100,000.
That's amazing. That's that. Oh my God, what a story. We're going to have to backtrack through the details.
Yeah.
So when you say we brought it up the Himalayas, we brought it up Kilimanjaro, what does that look like? How
Sounds
do you bring
casual,
a harp up
doesn't
there?
It?
Yeah, it does.
So in the Himalayas, we had a truck, mainly because we were planning to bring a grand piano and it's not as portable. We trucked it up and then we put the harp in the flight case that we flew it over with and attached 2 poles and carried it up in the flight case. And we were like, oh, that was very last minute. And then over the last 4 years, we trialed many different ways of carrying the harp up mountains. It was the best way. So we tried this backpack way. We put it in like a wheelchair, wheelbarrow thing. No, the poles were the best way. So it was in a flight box with a special temperature controller in case something was to go wrong. And then 4 or 6 people carried it, depending on which way we went up. And we practiced all around Ireland. We would do a monthly hike. So I played on the top of Carn Tuathail a few times. I've done Kirkpatrick. I did Moy Lussa, which is the highest mountain in Clare. We did Temple Hill, which is very muddy when you do it in the winter. But yeah, no, it was beautiful.
And tell me about the team. Who's carrying it with you?
So I never carried it. I'm the artist. Me and Caroline, we got ourselves up there. That was the point. We had a team of 18. Usually people would come and do a monthly hike and then never contact me again because it was quite an ordeal. But we ended up with some diehard teams. We were all set to go. And then we had medical advice from UL who said that if we attempted to carry the harp up ourselves because we wouldn't be acclimatized to the altitude, we probably wouldn't make it. So we had to contact the guides in Africa and train them on how we were carrying the harp. And then they took a quicker route up, so they weren't carrying it as long, so the harp was safer. And then we took a meandering route. So it took 5 days to get to the summit and then 2 days down. And then the harp took 2 days to get to the summit and 2 days down.
What did the locals think about this excursion? Were they surprised or a little bit baffled that you were bringing the harp up there?
Oh, they loved it. I got a message from the president of Tanzania. She's an absolute icon if anyone wants to look her up. She's amazing. She's the first female president in any African country. I'm obsessed with her. Had the Department of Foreign Affairs, who is an ex-rapper. He's great. He came and he started the walk with me. We walked like the first 20 minutes arm in arm with him. And then the ambassador for Ireland in Tanzania invited me to her embassy in Dar es Salaam. And so I played a cultural exchange concert for the other embassies and then high up business people in Dar es Salaam. So Anne-Marie O'Farrell actually gave me a piece that she had written called Asante Sana, which means thank you in Swahili. So I played that and just generally shared Irish music with them. They were all very, very pleased. Apparently Ireland and Tanzania have a really great history of shared experiences.
Yeah, well, and you're in that line now.
Yeah.
And in that lineage. And how did the harp acclimatise to those spaces and places?
it acclimatized beautifully. We had two harps coming, actually, because we'd prepared for anything to happen, for the harp to, we'd open the harp and the soundboard would have cracked. I don't even like saying it, but when Kilimanjaro, you start your first day in a rainforest and you end in a desert glacier. And so we were like, it's just, it would absorb all the water and then it would freeze. And it was beautiful. It didn't rain the entire trip, which I think really helped us. Someone was looking out for us. But the harp, I opened the harp on the morning of the performance and it was in perfect tune. And then when I traveled to Dar es Salaam, my hair went all poofy and curly and the harp would not keep tune because it was so humid. But I had already done the record, so my luck had run out.
Yeah.
How do you decide what to play when you get at the top?
So basically, when you're at such a high altitude, your brain fries a little bit. I was up at 10% oxygen, so ground level is 21, and I was up there for 2 hours, and the hike up to the summit is 20 hours long. So you're like in a dream, basically. You need stuff that you can play backwards, blindfolded, anywhere. So I had 2 years of prepping, but I had these great dreams of playing the most intricate, beautiful stuff, and it just got slashed to stuff that I knew I could play properly. I had sheet music up there and a sheet music holder for me, because when I was in India, I didn't realize about these memory problems, and I went to play this piece that I loved and I couldn't remember how to start it. So yeah, I had to bring the music. But I played a few commissions that I got 2 years in advance so I could have the time to get it into my fingers. I played a piece by an Irish composer called Rory Maloney called Scammel, which is Irish for clouds, because we were in the clouds. And then I played a piece called By Strangford Water by Janet Harbison, which I had premiered for her in the Himalayas, which was great to play again. I also really knew that piece, so it was very helpful. I opened the concert with a piece called Little Bird by Ed Sheeran. So Caroline Heffernan brought this piece to me. A girl called Trina Priestley, she had CF a number of years ago, and there was a campaign done by her friends and family to get in contact with Ed Sheeran because he was her favorite artist, and she was in hospital and her father got a phone call and he picked it up and it was Ed Sheeran, and he sang this song Little Bird to her, and then when the song finished she had passed away. So I played Little Bird in memory of Trina, but also in memory of all people who had passed away from cystic fibrosis. Also got to play a slow air while Caroline recited a poem given to us by the President of Ireland, which was a really beautiful moment, because Caroline, she doesn't like me telling you this, but she's currently the oldest person with CF to have ever climbed Kilimanjaro, and we had many plans for her safety if she wasn't going to make it, so there was lots of question marks over it, and she made it and she was very safe and she was very healthy at the top, and she recited this poem and it was beautiful.
I mean, it must have been an amazing feeling, I suppose, having gone through the journey of getting there, but also having all of those people and those memories with you when you're playing. What was that experience like?
Well, we had hoped to bring all of our friends and families of me and the team in the moment. I played at 8 a.m., which was like 6 a.m. Irish time, and we had set up like this online Zoom call, and in the moment, the internet wasn't there. It's like a heads or tails whether it's going to be there or not. So we had everyone there ready to watch and they were just getting text updates, but you know, it was fine. They saw the recordings afterwards. But no, it was very emotional when we got to Africa and I met the deputy principal of foreign affairs. He said that in Africa we believe that our brothers and sisters of all the generations are always with you when you do stuff important. And I was like, that's just so beautiful to think of, that everyone's there behind you.
Do you think there's something particularly special about
the harp as the instrument and that challenge and as a symbol of Ireland, you know, do you think the harp makes that whole project a little bit more special?
Oh yeah, when we contacted the President of Ireland, he said that we weren't just playing the harp on the summit of Kilimanjaro, we were bringing the symbol of Ireland to the highest peak in Africa and raising money for this disease, which is predominantly Irish. Ireland has the highest rate of CF in the entire world. And no, it was very special, and I got to show the harp to many people in Africa. I actually got to meet this girl with Down syndrome, and she was so amazing. She brought her harp to the runway when the plane landed, and she played her harp for me as I like walked off of the plane. It was beautiful.
What are your hopes for the future of the harp and for Irish harp players?
It's coming true. The harp is a revival at the moment. Like, it's just amazing to see all of the new harp players. We have the Young Harpers Forum, which was really inspiring to see, just like a community of harpers that wasn't there years ago. It's just great to see, and it can only get better from here.
And do you have any more adventures on the horizon? Any more big adventures with the harp?
I'm currently relaxing. Well-earned relax. I have a dream to go to space, but maybe eventually. I've been told that Everest is too dangerous. There's like a lot of crampons and climbing, but we never know. We never know.
Watch this space, Mary D'Arthur. Donis mo olis madula actri hivan ikersias anagran sha. We dedicate this episode to all living with cystic fibrosis on this St. Patrick's Day. This series was brought to you by Crits Éireann, Harp Ireland, who are supported by the Arts Council on the Corla Allian and the Heritage Council, and was produced and presented by Niamh O'Brien.